Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday celebration service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on October 16th, 2016, and is entitled, Caution, Ruts Ahead.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm trusting that you brought your Bibles in hand. We're getting into the Word. We're going to 2 Peter is where we're going. And if you happen to have a bulletin, you'll see on the back it has the outline of today's message. The outline is there. Also on the front of the bulletin, it has our logo for the 85th anniversary that is less than a month away. And we really personally want to make sure that you're there. I believe it's going to be historic. Our city is documenting the same with our city council members, documentations, and even a Hope Chapel Day on the 19th in our city. But more importantly, these are things that we start to revisit. And as I talk with our younger generation, our millennials, often they'll say, who are we? Some of our young people don't even know their heritage. They don't know their grandparents. And they really want to know, what do we believe in? And this particular celebration, I believe, is going to mark a tremendous occasion. It really is. Church has been here 85 years. It's been a wonderful experience for Ainsley, for our three children. And I want to thank you for that. On this particular Pastor's Appreciation Day, 15 years spent here. It's been our best years of our life. And I'm thrilled. And I can't wait to brag to these other pastors that are coming from distances who helped pastor this church. See what good things God is doing. And it's not in building. It's in people. So how can I brag on Jesus people if the Jesus people may not be there? So I'm counting on you. How's that? There you go. Hey, as we take a look at, we are dealing with, well, we have time for just a couple of one-liners. Is that all right? All right, just throw it out there real quick because you keep dragging me out there with that. But those famous last sayings, but here's one. Elderly woman, having never married, she requested in a handwritten note that no male pallbearers would carry her casket out. The note said, since not one of those men asked her out while she was alive, they're not going to carry her out when she dies. That'll teach you guys. A young recruit training for the police academy and was asked this question, if you had to arrest your mother-in-law, what would you do? He said, I'd call for backup. Teaching a Sunday school, a teacher came along and said to her young class, why did Mary and Joseph take the young boy Jesus to Jerusalem? And the young girl raised her hand and said, because they couldn't get a babysitter. Isn't that how it is today anyway? Hey, we're taking a look. We're in a sermon series. It's entitled Building a Forever Faith. We're in 1 and 2 Peter. We're right now in the book of 2 Peter. We're in chapter 2. We're going to begin with verse 15. That's where we left off the last time we were together. Today's message is entitled, Caution, Ruts Ahead. Ruts Ahead. So Lord, we've been talking to you a lot, praising you a lot. So Lord, thank you for opening the Word to us a lot that we could say, oh, I needed that. And I needed to have truth revealed. Lord, do that. Lord, help me, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Been noted that doctors will often tell people never take your prescription medication out of the original package for obvious reasons, right? But there will still be people that will get on an airplane and say it's much easier just to dump everything in a Glad bag or a container. It's easier to just keep that way. Well, you run a risk. A story that came out, an interesting story about a woman who worked in a telephone store, and when she went on her break, she came back after that coffee break and found her boss sitting at her desk, at the seat of her desk, with his head in his hands, startled by her arrival, and said, oh, I'm so sorry, I had this amazingly terrible headache, and I was looking through your desk for an aspirin, and I think I'm feeling better and relieved from that terrible headache. And she said, well, dear McGregor, hey, you won't only feel better, you're not going to get pregnant either. So you never know. It's important that we label things, isn't it true? And we have something here with Peter. He is starting to reveal things about false prophets and false teachers. and say that you need to be aware of the label, because what's on the label may not necessarily be what's on the inside. And in this portion here, now remember, Peter is old. This is the last recorded document of Peter. He spends this whole chapter about false prophets and false teachers. This is very important to him. This is one of the strongest in the entire New Testament about false prophets and false teachers, though it's throughout Scripture about the warning of that. When we take a look at verse 15 there, it says that they have forsaken the right way and gone astray. Look at verse 21, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way. Isn't that interesting? So that word way, not only is it in implying about a person walking, because that's where predominantly most people got around, by walking, but it has the notion that as a person is walking the right way, that something comes along and sweeps them into the wrong way. And so as we take a look at that, now the Bible talks about your walk. How is your walk? What is the way going on? Is that important? Yes, because we know that to be a symbolic element of our growth or our spiritual journey. Hey, how's your walk? And the spiritual journey comes out by reason of the decisions that we make. How is your walk spiritually? Because it also applies, how have you been making some good decisions? So Peter's making this highest priority and concerns for the Christians. And you know, we've been dealing with 1st and 2nd Peter, and he's addressing suffering Christians. They're being persecuted. It is not a pleasant day to be a Christian. Many of them given their lives and are running for their lives, forsaking their own homes and at times family. So let's look here at verse 15. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 through the end. Let's read. As I read here, they have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, for by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. It's interesting to note here, because we take a look, Peter believes that it's profitable for believers from time to time to consider their walk. That's what he's dealing with as well. Isn't it? Have you ever noticed how a pigeon, now I'm not fond of pigeons, but have you noticed the pigeons walk with their heads going back and forth and back? That's just how they kind of like kick their body motion going forward. But when a pigeon wants to look around, they stop and then they turn their head. They pause, they consider what path they're actually on. Then they keep going again and just kind of walk in that regard. For a Christian, sometimes that's true. They need to stop and refocus, because when we talk walking, our message is entitled Caution, Ruts Ahead. In other words, there could be things in the road of our path that we need to have those caution signs, and Peter brings up four. Let's take a look at them. Number one, on your notes, be careful as you walk. Let's look at verse 15 again. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Peor, who loved the wages of righteousness. Let's look at verse 21. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then to having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Now, Peter is speaking about people who were taken off course. That's what he's addressing here. Those who we're in the right direction. In the New Testament, there's plenty of warnings about those that would be deceived by false teachers, false prophets. Since the day of Jesus all the way through to the book of Revelation, those are expressed. Let me give you some examples. Those are important for us to see. Here are some warnings of ruts in the road. First of all, let me just cite those references. I'll read that, but we'll go together to Acts chapter 20. But 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11, 3. I fear that somehow you will be led astray from your pure and simple devotion to Christ. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Galatians 1, 6 and 7. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, for these are of the same who trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 14. Ephesians 4, 14. We should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Take a look. These are some, but let's go to Acts chapter 20. I ask you to go to Acts chapter 20. In verse 29, this setting here, we have the Apostle Paul. He's speaking to the church at Ephesus. They're on the dock there. It's his farewell song. He will not see them again. The Spirit has already spoke that he is going to Jerusalem. If you go, the Jews will arrest you. You will give your life. This is where it's going. And he's still going to go. The Spirit of God compels me. But look what he says here in Acts 20, verse 29 to verse 31. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch. And remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. We can say here, it's not just Peter that's bringing this up. These are things that are very important. And there's just ruts that can happen to a Christian, ruts of legalism, ruts of self-righteousness, pride, apathy, doubt, or anger. But these are caution signs that we're taking a look at. And that's why Ephesians 5, verse 15 takes a look about, see that you walk circumspectly. That word circumspectly means literally to watch every step. See that you walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. That's Ephesians 5, 15. Now, walking's important. We know that as parents, as grandparents. Man, it's a glad day when the little baby starts to walk. I mean, it's like, whoa, first steps, ha, right on. And then eventually that child gets a little older. Because at the beginning, yeah, there's a little forward motion, definitely a lot of stumbling, bumbling around. But as they get older, that parent will say things like this, now watch your step. Look left and right when you cross that street. That's what good parenting's all about. And that's what's happening here to Christians. Hey, you're on the way, but as you walk, watch your step. Don't just consider it as just something that everybody's into. Be careful. Watch. So we're sharing these things, and I don't want anybody to become reactionary Christians. That's just not me. You know that's not my nature. I think that if there's somehow a Christian that says, man, I'm just going to take a look and they're out there arbitrating every truth and just seeing what kind of false books being, that's no fun. That, as if you're the gospel Gestapo, you know what I mean? Anyway, but there are those false things that are out there. And that's why 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, 1 Thessalonians 5:21, test all things and hold fast to what is good. When we come across that word discern, is this true or is this false? Friends, that's why we just so embrace and encourage, regardless of age, get into our discipleship program. Get exposed to the truth. Man, that's how they work now with bank tellers. You play with the real cash. So when you come across a phony bill, you say, this doesn't feel like what I've been trained with. So there can be those, and there are people in your life that are counting on you to show that discernment till they grow up and can select what is true and what's not true. It's attributed to Mark Twain, and I'll just say it anyway. Mark Twain said, "A lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is still lacing up its boots." Isn't it amazing? There's just something in our human nature that we just say, there's just something that's just worth repeating. We know, we're not sure if it's true or not, but we gravitate toward the negative. And we have to be very careful about that. It's in our nature to go astray. It is. It's in my nature. Isaiah 53, 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." We've all done our own thing. And if you don't have somebody to help you, you will go astray. The challenge being is that those same ones that have some form of influence will lead others astray. And they come into the church. And that happens. It's like Robert Robinson came along with that famous hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." Man, that's like in every one of us. I just have that leaning. So check how we're walking. The second sign, be careful who you walk with. Oh, that's equally as important. Let's look at verse 15. Once again, I'm in 2 Peter chapter 2, where they have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by tempest, whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. When they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. When we look here, who are you hanging out with? That's very important. That's our first point. Second point, really, to who are those ones that you would be with? Because to keep your interest in anything, isn't it true? You need to be with the right people around you. They'll motivate you. They'll encourage you to succeed at keeping up with anything. That's why they have things like, well, car clubs. That's why they have reading clubs. That's why they have things like motorcycle clubs and surf clubs. And man, they have rallies. They have chat rooms. They've got magazines. You get around an environment to keep you motivated. That's why as a church, that's why we have church. That's why we have small groups. To get around those groups of people, find people who agree with God's truth and walk with them. Walk with them. You want to find out what your children are like? Check out who they're hanging out with. It's not that difficult. Because they're going to talk to you one way at home, but with their friends, that's who you motivate. So that's our point, our second point. Be careful who you walk with. Professor James Allman of Dallas Theological Seminary was asked this question. He answered it. He says, "How do you know if you're in the will of God?" Isn't that great? He said this, "Regardless of circumstance or relationship, is that situation you're in drawing you closer to be like Jesus?" That's it. Life is tough. We have tough situations. We have tough relationships. And some relationships are wonderful. But is that circumstance leading you closer to be like Jesus? That's how you'll know. If it's glorious, but you're getting further away, is that the will of God? He says, no, it's not. And that should help you make a decision. So as we see here, we've got to notice these talking in the third person, words in the text like they and them and those and these. And man, it's unhealthy for a church to talk dichotomy of us versus them. We never do that. We always like, man, we love the Lord. But he's talking about them. In other words, they're not with us. That's what he's addressing here. Look at verse 15. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray. Look at verse 17. These are wells without water. Look at verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure. Man, it's not we, it's this other group. That's what he's addressing here. That's like 1 John 2:19. 1 John 2:19, he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. Sometimes that's how that is. And you just kind of like know who and who isn't. But we never want to just say, hey, we're unique. But man, a healthy dichotomy between those who hold true the historic Christian beliefs, or is there a group that perverts those historic Christian beliefs? That's important, vitally important. So it's important people to have people in your life who will inspire you spiritually. It can also be unnerving. It's unnerving when you have somebody that appears to be better than you, even spiritually. That continues to be a little bit of a challenge that I, as a pastor, have certainly seen. I know it's true with me. You get around people that somehow know their Bible, turn to the Bible books much faster. It's challenging. It's somewhat humiliating. It can be a challenge. I remember my dad taught me how to play ping pong. He made a ping pong table. It's a great one. We still have it in the family. And I remember my dad coming up to me and says, Paul, I notice you always play people you beat rather easily. I said, yeah, Dad, I feel good about it, don't you? He says, if you want to get better, play people that are better than you or equal. And that's true. You want to be better in your walk with Jesus. You get with people that are more mature than you, that are stronger than you. It is comfortable to be among the Melanders, people that aren't moving anything. Man, be careful. Watch out. I like a little bio on D.L. Moody. It was done by Ethel Barrett. She talks about this young little upstart Christian, D.L. Moody. Man, he always would come into Sunday school class and brag on what God just showed him in the Bible and boasted on what great things God answered in prayer. And he was just always talking about what the Bible said. And these ancient ones in the church were getting upset. They were feeling humiliated. They don't talk that way. And they actually asked the pastor to tell them to tone it down. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And so this is what Ethel Barrett wrote about D.L. Moody. His robust spiritual health and bounding energy disturbed their napping. He was just too much. So while they were sucking their thumbs, he was growing until he left them far behind. He grew more in a few years than they had in 30 years. So, man, who are we walking with? Yes, it can be even humiliating. Somebody might know how to turn to their Bible books. That's why we do our discipleship classes, learning the order of the books. Those things are helpful and life-preserving, especially when you help the next generation. Comes on and talks about Balaam here. He's an Old Testament hall of shamer. Man, shame on that, Balaam. He's a Gentile prophet. And you can read about him in Numbers chapter 22. And it talks about Balaam here in verse 17. It's mentioning, isn't it interesting? These are wells without water, clouds carried by tempests. And it addresses the aspect in verse 15, how that Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Man, this dude got into the New Testament. This prophet. What happened here is that the king Balak of Moab was threatened because in the wilderness wandering of Israel coming through their territory, numbering in the millions, the king wanted the prophet Balaam to curse Israel. Felt threatened. Well, we're going to pay you big money, go up to the mountain, curse them. Now, it's interesting to note, God didn't want him to do it. He even told them. It's listed here, verse 16, he was rebuked for his iniquity by a dumb donkey. Now, dumb means couldn't speak. but says here the donkey spoke English. Can you imagine? I've had people say, do you think there's animals in heaven? Yes, there are. And I'm going to talk to that donkey and say, what was that all about? Can you imagine? So the dumb donkey speaks to the dumber prophet. And thus they came out with the movie Dumb and Dumber. All right, we'll move on from that. But isn't it interesting? Why did he do it? This man of God. It says right there, for the money, the love of the wages. I'm telling you, money has some draw to it. Have you ever read those surveys of people? What would you do if you had $1 million? It's interesting to read. One survey came out. What would you do for $10 million? Here's what the survey, I'll give you some results. 25% said for $10 million, they would completely abandon their family. 23% said that they would prostitute themselves for a week. And 7% said that they would kill a stranger for $10 million. So if you have 1,000 people, you've got 7 hitmen in there. Come on. Crowds aren't always good. Isn't it interesting when you take a look here and Balaam is addressed and they use their spiritual gift purely to get rich? That's what he's addressing. So verse 17, they are wells without water. There's no refreshment at all. That's what he's addressing. And friends, within each person, there is a thirst to know God. There is a thirst to know God. It's there. And a false prophet, a false teacher knows that. They will exploit that and promise you come my way. But there's nothing of refreshment there. Look at verse 17. They're clouds carried by tempest. Clouds that blow in and blow out, make noise, but don't deliver rain. But man, have we been covering that turf in Southern Cal. Isn't that true? Like the Indian came in and said, you got to hear. The Indian sat in under this powerful preacher. And they asked the Indian, what do you think? He said, I've got 6 words. He said, high winds, big thunder, no rain. Sometimes a person just kind of boasting, but don't produce. How about number 18? Great swelling words. Verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped, those who live in error. So, in other words, they've got a great gift of oration. They're orators, they're eloquent in their speak, they're charismatic in their delivery. And I do find it interesting because in this day and age, we're finding that people are more impressed with how a person says something than what they're actually saying, especially with the debates. People are coming along and say, ooh, he said that so well. So it's important that we would watch out and be careful in dealing with this aspect. Number 3, be careful what you walk toward. Dealing with verse 18, once again, look at verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. We take a look at false teacher over promises, but under delivers. And they say literally, come. Why don't you come with us? What you're actually walking toward is what a Christian needs to be aware of. What are you actually walking toward when they say, come? So when we look here to the more you do as you please would be one way to say it, the less you are pleased with what you do. Nice to stick with the Word of God, but the allurement of freedom, see, that's the thing, the allurement. They're boasting, you'll be free, you come with us. What they actually are delivering is bondage. Come be free. You can do what you want. do it with us and do as you please. So it's important. Nobody's really sure if there's a particular cult that Peter is addressing here. Most are just saying he's not really naming any particular cult. Most of the world wants some spiritual experience. They want some spiritual. I find that within our community, they want to be spiritual. Question would be, but are you saved? Yes, I'm spiritual, but are you saved? I'm spiritual. And then they come along and they want to be spiritual, but without the narrowness of the gospel. And that's how a cult can formulate. So I like that old saying that says, outer reform without inward transformation will lead to spiritual incarceration. You will be in bondage, slavery. I do find those that invite to church, my neighbor, oh, I like to go to church because I like to find a church. I feel better when I go there. I just come out feeling better. Is that all? Oh, yeah, they don't really address anything about what I'm doing wrong. I may apply a few of the principles that I hear, but it's important to recognize. So, a promised freedom, but they will end up in worse bondage. That's how Peter's addressing this. Number four, see what we do to wrap this up. Be careful how your walk ends. Let's look at verse 21. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed for her wallowing in the mire. And 2,000 years ago, dogs were not pets. They were scavengers. That's just important to realize in that setting. And pigs certainly weren't pets. They were unkosher to have. The natural brute beast made to be caught. It's interesting because Peter addresses that in verse 12, where he says, but these like natural brute beasts made to be caught and to just be destroyed, speak evil of things that they do not understand. Man, as he's taking a look at this, he's talking about that nature, if it's not changed on the inside, will go back to its original formation. So significant. I remember tigers and lions, right? They're carnivorous. They try to train them. You go to circuses, and probably the most noted one was 2003, the Mirage Hotel in Las Vegas. Siegfried and Roy, remember that? Roy just cracking his whip, and a 600-pound white tiger took hold of him and was whipping him around that cage. Changed laws on how that form of entertainment went around, but that natural brute beast. That's what Peter's addressing. Man, the dog's going to return back to his old nature of vomit. The pig's going to just return back to its own little muck and mire. That's the same with these individuals. If there's no change on the inside, naturally the nature is going to come out. So as we look at this, could it have been that Peter, maybe as he's addressing something here, just a thought, that he's writing about Judas. He realizes, man, Judas was one of us. And he's doing a comparison because Judas betrayed Jesus, yes. Peter also betrayed Jesus, yes, three times. Peter was brokenhearted with much tears. He repented, pulled it together. That's repentance. Judas, with much tears, was sorrowful. He got busted and didn't change. He just said, I'm going to exit, and committed suicide. So it's important for us to recognize that proximity to the truth is no guarantee to change. No guarantee. Somebody says, oh yeah, we got our Bibles and we're here. We're all about it. And there is no change. Therefore, as Peter's writing this, remember, it's his last words. I'm just going to give you some declaration what needs to happen. But we need to be given a new nature. Are you just a spiritual person or are you a saved person? Let me wrap it up as we welcome David up. Let me give you three things to just tuck in your Bible. They're listed there in your notes. Three tests if you're going to say, hey, that person seems to be somebody that's really leading quite a great group. Here they are. Number one, character. Second, creed. Third, converts. What is their character like? What is their fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5, 22, 23. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. Is there fruit that's coming from that person, that character? Now, if they have a platform display, you may never get a chance to go backstage and just hang out with them. Ask from their kids, hey, how are they? What are they like? But it's important to know, what's their character? Then their creed. What are they saying about Jesus and God? Do they abandon the narrow gate and open it up with all kinds of other thoughts? Are they messing with historic Christianity and saying, man, we're going to just kind of write the Bible laws here to fit our day and age? And number three, converts. What is the effect of the teaching on their followers? Friends, that's important. What are those followers like? Is there joy in their life? Their vibrancy? Do they have a holiness that's going on? They grieve over sin? How about their prayer life? Ever see them pray? What are their followers doing like that? Have they gotten too harsh and legalistic? Maybe they're too loose. We just kind of love free in grace. Maybe they have complete self-centeredness and they don't give a rip about too many people. What are their converts like? Those will help you. Friends, as we bring this message to a close, one of those unusual settings, and you're here today, and it's not an accident that you're here today. I know I needed to hear this message, and we take a look at our nation's selection of leaders. We wonder, well, who would have the qualities? And it seems like every round of elections, we seem to get further away from somebody that has substance to lead our great nation. I just want to throw this out to you and then we'll pray. This could be if we do not have a great leader and things continue in the path that you know you're on. This could be prime for another leader who will speak great swelling words and everybody says, now that person has the answers. Let's pool our resources together. Scripture calls him the Antichrist. But it could be a setup. So I just want to submit that to you. Scripture is very clear. These individuals are within our society. The thought is, well, every religion, what one, you know, I can't say just one is right. Well, you're going to go with the Scriptures. Jesus is the right way. Let's close our Bibles and let me pray for you. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. You know how much I love you, and even our guests who are here, please hang out with us. You'll recognize my heart. Wish I did everything perfectly. I don't, just because I'm not a perfect person, but I sure like telling people how to get to follow the perfect person. That's Jesus. So thank you for allowing me to address these things, and I'm trusting you to lead your life in such exemplary way that others would say, you're making a difference. There is another way to live. People are wanting to know. So we will have individuals that are up here to pray at the altar if you're needing prayer for anything. I want to pray off a blessing. So glad that you're here today. May the Lord use you in profound ways. You are the hope. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. He didn't say, you become the light. You already are the light. He did not say, you come become salt. He did not. He said, you already are salt. You really are our world's only hope. And you have the answer. It's Jesus. Thank you for listening. Father, we love you. Lord, as we just present our lives to you once again, Lord, we love being a Spirit-led, Spirit-directed church. Love basing the Spirit and the Word, how they agree together. Take the words, however each of us have heard today's message, translate it to where it becomes fruit-bearing and produce life. No despair, no hope of being removed. All that element of just confusion and doubt, be removed. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Pray for those that are just still on their journey and trying to grow up fast spiritually. Lord, give them wonderful, scholarly, devoted Christians around them that will embrace them, challenge the socks off them. We want to thank you, Lord, for this. In Jesus' name, amen. I bless you, everybody. Thanks for coming. You're dismissed. Those who are helping us pray, would you move forward to the front?
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.